Hello and welcome to the Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Honkamp, and I come to you today from my hermitage in the Dominican Priory of St. Pius V in Chicago, Illinois. Today is Saturday of the second week of Advent, December 13th, 2025. And the gospel passage that I've selected for our reflection today comes from Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew writes, "As they were coming down from the mountain, the disciples asked Jesus, 'Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' He said in reply, 'Elijah will indeed come and restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come.' And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. The gospel today brings us down from one of the most glorious moments in the life of Christ, the Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John have just seen Jesus' divine glory revealed. His face shone like the sun, his garments became white as light, and Moses and Elijah appeared conversing with him. It was a glimpse of heaven. A moment where human eyes were allowed to behold the majesty of the Son of God. And now, as they were coming down the mountain, the light begins to fade, and the disciples return to the ordinary world, the place where confusion, doubt, and suffering await. They ask Jesus a question: "Why do the scribes and Pharisees say that Elijah must first come?" It's a question rooted in expectation. According to the prophecy of Malachi, Elijah would come before the Messiah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. In other words, Elijah's return would signal that the time of salvation had arrived. The disciples were trying to make sense of what they have just seen. If Jesus is indeed the Messiah, where is Elijah's great return? And how does all of this fit together? Jesus' answer is striking. "Elijah will indeed come and restore all things, but I tell you that Elijah has already come." And they did not recognize him. In those few words, Jesus unveils a mystery of God's plan. The fulfillment of divine promise often happens in hidden, humble, and unexpected ways. The scribes and scholars expect Elijah to appear in fiery power, sweeping across the land, calling down judgment on the wicked. But Elijah did come, in the person of John the Baptist, not with fire from heaven, but with a fire of truth and repentance burning in his heart. He came not to command armies, but to prepare souls. And because he came humbly, because his mission did not fit their expectations, they did not recognize him. This pattern of divine fulfillment arriving in unexpected forms runs throughout Scripture. God reveals his power not in thunder or fire, but in a still, small voice. The Messiah comes not in royal robes, but as a carpenter's son. Salvation is won not on a throne, but on a cross. And so this gospel becomes a mirror for our Advent journey. God's coming is always surprising. His presence is not where the world tells us to look. He is already here. But will we recognize him? There is a deep irony in today's passage. Those who knew the prophecies best, the scribes, the scholars, the religious leaders, were the very ones who failed to see their fulfillment. Knowledge alone does not guarantee recognition. Why did they not recognize John as Elijah? Because they were looking for power, not repentance. They were looking for confirmation of their righteousness, not confrontation with their sin. The prophet's message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," was all too uncomfortable and too demanding. It's a warning for us too. Advent is a season of joyful expectation, but also of repentance. It is not merely waiting for a baby in Bethlehem. It is preparing for the living Christ who seeks entry into the hearts. And like the people of Jesus' time, we too risk missing him if our expectations blind us. We look for God in moments of beauty, joy, and success, and he is there. But he also comes to us in the quiet, the hidden, and even in the painful. He comes in the neighbor who irritates us, the suffering we'd rather escape, the still silence of prayer we find difficult. To recognize him there requires humility, a willingness to let go of our image of how God should act, and to receive him as he does act. The gospel also foreshadows the path of Christ himself. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands. The disciples have just witnessed Christ's glory on the mountain. Now they are reminded of his coming passion, the light of the transfiguration, and the shadow of the cross are inseparable. That same pattern holds true for every disciple. We ascend the mountain in moments of grace, those times when God feels close, when prayer flows easily, when faith seems luminous. But then we must descend into the valley, where faith is tested, where love must become concrete, where suffering refines us. Jesus teaches them, and so us, that glory is not the absence of suffering, but its transformation. God, who reveals himself in light, also redeems us through the cross. Advent, therefore, is not just about preparing for joy, but preparing for surrender, for letting our hearts be purified through the small sufferings that teach us humility, patience, and love. Elijah has already come, Jesus says, and in every generation God continues to send his Elijahs, prophets who call us back to him. Sometimes they are great voices of history, saints, reformers, teachers. But often they are ordinary people, the friend who challenges us to live with integrity, the child who reminds us to be gentle, the poor who awaken our compassion. To recognize these messengers, we need what the disciples found on the mountain, eyes transfigured by grace. When we see through the lens of faith, even the ordinary becomes radiant with divine presence. So as we approach the midpoint of Advent, this gospel invites us to a deeper kind of waiting, a waiting that is alert, discerning, and humble. God has already come into our world. The question is whether we have recognized him. He comes like Elijah in the voices that challenge. He comes like John in the wilderness of repentance. He comes like Christ in the mystery of suffering and love. If we open our hearts, we will find that Advent is not merely a season on the calendar, it is the continual descent of God into our lives. So we pray for eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that recognize the hidden Christ among us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you come to us in ways we do not expect. Open our eyes to recognize your presence in the humble and hidden places of our lives. Give us hearts ready for repentance and courage to follow you down the mountain into the valley of service and love. May this Advent awaken in us a spirit of watchfulness and wonder, so that when you come again in glory, we may greet you as friends who already know your voice. Amen. If you found a blessing in today's words, I invite you to share them with others and ask them to join us here each day in my hermitage as we break open the Word of God for our lives. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.